Amen. I'm trying to get y'all's mind off the food. It's coming. Amen. Amen. I think someone's already over there in the plates and the collard greens and the chitlins and the hog balls and the neck bones. Amen. But we got to do the spiritual food before we do the natural food. Amen. Amen. But we truly bless the Lord this afternoon for all of his goodness and mercy. Amen. We won't be before you long. Amen. Because I know you all are smelling the food. Amen. And you're ready to eat. But nevertheless, the scripture said we should not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. On Friday, we went over the discerning of spirits. Amen. It's so important in this day that we live in that we're able to discern the spirit, because the devil's desire is to trip up the children of God. Amen. Hosea says, God says, in using Hosea, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Amen. And a lot of times we think that means just knowing the Bible, but also a knowledge of how the devil likes to set traps to overthrow us. Amen. We can't be ignorant of his devices. Now, you know, as I was praying this morning, you know, we're going to get to the message, but as I was praying this morning, the Lord showed me some things, and this is how the devil works. I'm going to help you all and help myself too. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
If you had a problem with alcoholism, amen. When people come into church, and this is how we have to put up our guard, so watch. The people that come into church that have problems with alcoholism will all of a sudden gravitate to you. Amen. And then gravitate to you now. This is how spirits work. If I know I've overcome something, amen, and I know God has given me the victory, I have to be watchful that I don't allow that spirit that I've overcome to be entertained in my presence. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So what the devil will use, you've overcome this, and someone will newly get saved, and they're still struggling with overcoming that bad habit. Now the devil said, I'm not convinced that you really have overcome it. So what he will do is that spirit, with alcoholism is a spirit, he will use that individual that's struggling to become your closest companion. And then using that individual that's struggling, now you overcome. But he uses that spirit to try to break you down. Amen. So we have to be watchful, because the Bible said we're not ignorant of the devil's devices, lest he should get the advantage. And you know, in your mind, you're thinking, how did they come to me? Don't you know the devil knows? Don't you know the devil knows that you've overcome it? Amen. But there's a scripture in Matthew, and the word of God says this, when God saves and cleanses us, we become a new vessel. We become a clean vessel. So the spirit is now driven from us. But the scripture says the spirit wanders in high and dry places seeking
rest.
So you're saved. The spirit is what? Gone. But that spirit is not satisfied and comfortable in any body but the body that it came out of. So God has saved you, you're blessed. But that spirit always, as long as you're in this body, tries to come back to the house. And Jesus said that spirit wanders in high and dry places seeking rest. But it knows the only place that I feel comfortable is out of the house from whence I came. So that spirit, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 12, continues until it can make its way back into the body from which it came out of. You say, well, I've been saved for 5 years, I'm all right. That spirit will always try to get back. Now you know your bad habits. You know the struggles. You have to put up a guard. When that spirit tries to enter into your arena, you have to watch for that spirit because it's constantly trying to overtake you. And then Jesus said, if it comes back into the house, if you get weak, if you get open up, when it comes back, it brings with it seven spirits more wicked than it was. So your last state is worse than your beginning. That's how spirits work. So if you had a problem, say, nicotine, how does everybody keep gravitating to me have the same problem with nicotine? Because the spirit is trying to bring you back down. If you had a problem, let's say you had a problem with sexual issues. Hey man, you said, why does everybody want to come to me for counseling for this? Did you tell them? No. Now, in our right minds, well, how do they know? The spirit. Amen? So you have to safeguard yourself from those spirits. No charge. Amen. Y'all are too serious. So I'm just trying to help you out because that's how the devil works. Amen. The issues, you know, even when you get saved, as long as we're saved, the Bible says, men that shall live godly in Christ Jesus are going to have persecution. And many are the affliction of the right. So somebody said, when you get saved, everything is all right. That's not what the Bible says. You have challenges that you have to overcome. Well, the devil knows that you have to overcome the challenges. So what does he do? He keeps putting up roadblocks. You know, just think in your time of being saved and wonder, so how did they know? How did they keep coming to me? If you have a problem, unless you are, hopefully we don't have anybody, if you were a cocaine addict and you had overcome cocaine, so how does everybody that come to church that had those same cocaine issues keep coming around me? Did you tell them? No. So how do they know? Spirits. They're real. And the devil is not satisfied that we're really saved. Amen. And the greatest example we can use is Job. The Bible says about Job to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? You know why the devil left the presence of God to tempt Job? Because he was trying to prove that God was a liar. And just in our lives, the devil is not satisfied of what God has done in our lives. So his constant effort, his comfort, constant attention and energies are to prove that God is a liar in our lives. So we have to safeguard that. Can I get an amen? And let's get to the word of God. Amen. Let us stand for our scripture reading. But we need to understand spirits. Amen. Spirits, the way the devil works is seduction. Amen. It's like, you ever see a large boulder next to the water or next to the ocean where the ocean waves keep coming in? Well, you don't see it, but every time that ocean washes over that rock, there's a portion of erosion that takes place. Now, it doesn't happen all at once, but it's a gradual progression. It's a gradual erosion. It's a gradual, if you want to look at it, seduction, where little by little, the rock is eroding and being broken down. But that's how the devil works in our lives. We have to be our God, amen? We're going to read in Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 15, and then we're going to drop down to verses 20 through 26, amen? And our message this afternoon is through prayer and faith, you can do anything. Can we say it together? Through prayer and faith, you can do anything. Amen. Verse 12 reads, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And when they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out those that sold or those that were defiling the temple. Now let's jump down to verse 20. Now Jesus did what? He cursed the fig tree. Amen. Verse 20 reads, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered, said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today. Lord, we bless your name. Lord, we thank you because we realize this afternoon that if it had not been for the Lord on our side, Lord, if you had not stepped in to protect and keep us, Lord, we know that if the devil had his way, Lord, as the forces and the powers of evil and darkness had their way, Lord, we wouldn't be here, but for this we say thank you. Now, Lord, we ask you to speak to us on this afternoon. Lord, speak the word of anointing. Lord, we ask you to send your anointing, Lord, to break every yoke. Lord, send your anointing, Lord, to set the captives free. Lord, send your anointing that it might open the eyes of those that have been blinded spiritually. Lord, send your anointing that it might open the ears of those that are spiritually deaf. Lord, we ask you to send your anointing, hallelujah, Lord, that we might be saved. And for this we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name? Amen. You may be seated. Truly, we just bless the Lord on this afternoon. Amen. Because if it had not been, how many know God is a good God?
Yes, he is.
Hallelujah. I said, how many know that God is a good God? Hallelujah. Amen. Our scripture text, you know, people look at the word of God and they think so many different things. You know, they come up with all of their own hypotheses and their own conjecture about certain things. But how many know when you read the word of God, you need to know what it's saying? Amen. So we read here, it says, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto him, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples, it's important, his disciples heard it. Now when you look at it, you say, well, it was not yet the time of figs. So the question is, why did Jesus curse the fig tree? Right? Amen? The scripture said it was not yet the time of figs. Now when you read that, you say, wow, Jesus was so hard. Amen? Jesus was so inconsiderate. He says it's not the time of figs. For the figs, well, he cursed the tree because it did not have figs on it. You know, and then so the ecologists and all the different ones have all given their prognosis for why it took place. Well, it's really simple why it took place. Amen. Because when Jesus, over in Jerusalem and over in that part of the country, when the leaves on the fig tree, it's true, it's not the time of figs for the mature figs. But when the leaves come, there is a small fig that comes with the leaves about the size of a cherry. So when the leaves were there, Jesus said, yes, it's not time for the big figs. some
little figs.
Amen. And it's such a delicacy over in Jerusalem, they sell those little figs. So when Jesus came to the tree, he was shocked because when the leaves come, so come the little figs. But there were no figs on the tree. So Jesus cursed the tree. Amen. So someone said, well, that ain't so bad. You know what the Lord does? He uses natural application to teach us spiritual principles. So we can look at it like this. I'm in church and I should have some fruits. Amen. Because the tree should have had fruits. But the reason the Lord cursed the tree is because it didn't have the little fruit. Amen. So I said, wow. Yes, indeed, Jesus was right. It was not time for the mature figs, but it was time for the... Well, a lot of times when we look at our lives, this is the spiritual principle. We see the leaves in the saints, but where are the fruits? We see baptism in Jesus' name. We see being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, but where are the fruits? So the Lord taught them the principle, and we're not going to go to it, but you can read about it in Matthew chapter 7, starting around verse 15 or 16, when the Lord says, by their fruits you shall
know them.
Amen. And he goes on to give the different illustrations for if this type of tree is this type of tree, it should produce this kind of fruit. But he said, if the tree produces no fruit, the tree is hewn down and cast into the fire. What is it? The same principle that we read about here in Mark. When the Lord sees our lives, saints of God, there should be some fruit. And even if it's not the mature fruit, you ought to have a little fruit. Amen. So then he continues the discourse, and Peter says that, remember the scripture says the disciples what? Heard it. Now the Lord is teaching them a spiritual principle. He uses a natural element to teach a spiritual principle. Can we say spiritual principle? All right, come on, y'all don't leave me now. Amen. So when the next day they look and they see that the fig tree is withered. How many know when God says something, it don't take long? I said, when God says something, it does not take long. So Peter said, whoa, Lord, that's the fig tree that you cursed. Look how fast it took place. Jesus said, just have faith in God. There are some challenges in our lives, some difficulties, some things. We think it takes a long time. But all it takes for you to do is have faith in God. Now, in having faith in God, we do not go by the natural laws. And we do not go by the laws of the world. Because when it comes to God and the natural laws, God said, I created the natural laws. And because I'm the creator and the originator of the natural law, I can change it when I get ready, however I get ready. Amen? Amen. And then he drops down further. He said, now you got to have faith in God. Then he gives them another illustration. Amen. I'm going to go through prayer and faith. You can do what? Anything today. All things. Our message is through prayer and faith. You can do anything. So then Jesus turns around and tells them, he said, if you have faith, you can speak to this mountain and say, be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done. Somebody said, yes. Come on, can we be real? God can do anything. There's no limitations on what God can do. Amen. So they were on the Mount of Olives. He said, this mountain can be cast into the sea at your word. Well, what the mountain represented was difficulties and challenges. Do we have any difficulties or challenges this afternoon? Where through prayer and faith, you can do anything. If you can speak to a mountain, and it can be cast into the sea. We talking about who? Our God. There are no limitations on God. The natural law cannot bind God. Amen. What people have said and done does not put limitations on God. God can do anything. Amen. And then he says, a little lady, he said, now with men, these things are? You know, yes, you can't figure it out. You don't know how it's going to work it out. But have faith in God. I'm wondering this afternoon, how many of us really have faith in God? How many of you really will speak to the mountains in your lives? And see, be thou cast into the sea. Let us turn to Luke chapter 1. Now we said the natural laws have nothing on God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
God can change the laws as he please because he is God. Amen. I'm not going to read all of this, but I'm going to start in the 27th verse. But before I start in the 27th verse, the angel, I believe it was Gabriel, first appeared to Zacharias concerning his wife Elizabeth. And the scripture says concerning them that Elizabeth was well, they were both well stricken in age. In everyday English, that means they were old. Amen. They were past childbearing age. But God sent an angel, and he said, tell Elizabeth about this time next year, she's going to have a child. Now, John was in the office of the priest. He was performing the work of God. And John's like, and now Zachariah, sorry, he's like, all these years? He said, God, how can this be? How's this going to take place? So God said, because you did not believe. He said, you're going to be deaf and dumb until the child is born. Because I'm God and I can do anything. Amen. So the scripture goes on. This is God when he's making preparations. For God to do a spiritual thing, he does it his way. And God doesn't need permission from any man or any woman to do what he's going to do. Amen. That brings us to verse 27 of chapter 1. Actually, verse 26. It says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was, this means they were engaged, but they were not yet married. Amen? They were engaged, but they were not yet married. They were espoused to a man named Joseph and of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. We all know about the virgin birth. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her minds what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found. Thank you, Lord. How many of us like to be in that position? I need some favor. I said, I need some favor with God. He said, even though you don't understand what's happening, don't be afraid because you have found favor with God. Lord, I live every day for your favor. Amen. When you find favor with God, you'll be like Noah. The Bible said all creation, all mankind was destroyed, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know what grace is?
Favor.
Amen. So Noah found favor or grace in the eyes of God. Now, everything around you could be sinking. Hallelujah. But when you find favor with God, you will stand.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Everything around you could be coming down. Hallelujah. But because God is with you. So he continues on saying, verse 31 says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Now, I said, when you have prayer and faith, you can do
anything.
Through prayer and faith, you can do
anything.
Amen. Now, the Mary is getting ready at this time to reason with the angel Gabriel, because Gabriel is breaking God's natural laws. Amen. But when God speaks something into your life, when God speaks something into your spirit, he doesn't have to get permission of nature for it to take place, because he is the creator and the originator of nature. Amen. So verse 32 says, and he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now can you just imagine Mary listening to all of this, but in the back of her mind she's like, I'm a virgin. How is this going to take place? I'm hearing all these salutations and I'm hearing all of this stuff that you're speaking. She said, well, how is this going to take place when I've kept myself pure before God? Stay pure with God and God will work it out. Amen. And she said, Mary said unto the angel, how, verse 34 said, how shall, you saying that God is going to do something. She said, how can this be when I haven't had a relationship with a man? I'm only a spouse to the man. She said, how can this be? How is this going to take place? Because of the prayer and faith. You can do
anything.
Through prayer and faith, you can do anything. We need to stop letting go of God. We need to stop losing faith in God. We need to stop allowing our mountains in our lives to speak to us. But we need to speak to them and say, be thou renewed and be thou cast into the sea. Because by faith, you can do
anything.
Through prayer, anything. Amen. So Mary's like, I'm hearing what you're saying, but I'm trying to figure out how you're going to do it. You don't have to figure out something when God says it. Just believe. You don't have to figure it out. Just believe. The latter portion of Mark chapter 11, he said, if you believe and doubt not, and believe those things which you speak. Now when you're speaking, you're praying. You say, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I believe you're going to do it. He said, but if you believe and doubt not, then the things that you speak, God shall and will bring them to pass. Through prayer and faith, thanks to God, you can do
anything.
Now, there are some prerequisites. Amen. You can't live like a hellion and think you can get God's faith. Hallelujah. Amen. James says it this way. He said, you cannot ask God for something amiss or for the wrong motives or for the wrong reasons and think that God is going to give it to you. He said, if you ask amiss, let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. You know why? Because you just want to do, you want to consume it for your own pleasure. He said, that's the wrong reason. Amen. You don't ask God for lustful reasons. You ask God for your needs, and then you say, Lord, after you feel my needs, anything else you bless me with, I'll be satisfied. Lord, if you go beyond what I need and bless me, I will be satisfied. But you have not today because you
ask.
Yes, God. If you have faith and pray and believe and doubt not, there are no limitations. Did not the scripture say, now unto him? Who are we talking about? God. Hallelujah. Forget about what the law says. Forget about what the judge and the attorney says. Some of your fights of immigration issues. Forget about all that. Amen. And just believe God. Amen. Because God is able. about what all the natural laws say. Because God is God. And I heard him tell Isaiah, I'm God. So when I get ready to do something, I don't go to nobody's commission. Yeah. I don't have to go to pastor camp to say this saint has a faith that God's going to do this. So I don't have to go talk to him because I'm God. I don't have to go talk to the bishop because I am God. But according to your faith, where's your faith at today? Do you believe God? Do you believe that if you ask and you speak to the mountains? Our problem is we let too many mountains speak to us. We let too many impossibilities speak to us. And we're embracing doubt. We're embracing fear. And we're not trusting God. Did not the Lord say have? All right, I'm going to get back to this. I'm almost finished. Amen. Have faith in God. So Mary said, Lord, how are you going to do something when I never have a relationship with a man? How is this going to take place? Amen. Do you have some things in your life that you can't figure out how they're going to take place? Have faith in God. I don't care how many doors have been shut. I don't care how many times the door has closed in the past. Have faith in God. If you can't trust God, you can't trust anyone. Now, God does everything for a reason in our lives. Everything that God does in our lives, just like the apostles, they are teaching moments. Not to push us away from God, but to bring us closer to God. Every event, everything that takes place in our life, they are teaching moments. Amen. And then one time you'll be able to help somebody. You say, one time I went through that, but look at where I am today. Because these are cheap moments with God. Well, Mary said, Lord, I don't understand. How can this be? Seeing. He said, Lord, you're telling me that we're going to not work according to the laws of nature? Amen. God is not limited to our understanding. That's why the Bible said, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and God's, can we say God's ways? Come on, God's ways are past finding out. You know what that means in everyday English? You can't figure God out. So you don't have to figure out what God is going to do. All you have to do is believe, and God will do the rest. What Mary's trying to figure it out. She said, Lord, I don't understand. How can this be? Seeing I don't know a man. Amen. And the angel answered and said unto her, don't figure out what I got to do. Just what? Believe. You don't have to figure out what God has to do. All God wants you to do is believe. Amen. He says, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall. Lord, overshadow me. Ah, Lord, I need you to touch me. Anybody want God to touch me? Anybody want God to move on them? Anybody want God to work the impossible? Lord, I just need you to overshadow me. Hallelujah. Lord, I don't know what's going to take place, but I know as long as you're involved. I heard somebody say it's going to be all right. He said, well, the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born unto thee shall be called. Mary's like, wow. He said, God, you ever feel like God is giving you too much? You ever feel like, God, you're telling me too much? I can't even contain what you're telling me. God said, I don't need you to contain it, just believe it. Now, let me ask you a question. Could Mary have ever had Jesus if she didn't believe? Amen? So in order for her to have Jesus, the Immaculate Conception, she had to? Now, how many of us would have been Mary right about there?
Jesus.
Yes, look at your circumstances that you've given up and quit on and made it impossible. Just look at your circumstances. If you were Mary, would you have been blessed to bring forth the Lord Jesus? Or in your mindset, would you have said it is impossible? Impossible is not what we say, but a lot of times it's by how we live. It's by our disposition. Many of us have developed an impossible disposition. When the Lord tells us through prayer and faith, you can do
anything.
As long as you don't do it for the wrong motives. You kind of do it for the right reason, amen. So he said, the Holy Ghost shall be overshadow thee. And he said, now, just to let you know how good I am as a God, he said, you remember your cousin Elizabeth? The one that is past childbearing age? Now, this wasn't something that was done in the dark. Everybody knew about Elizabeth. So I said, well, God can't help me because everybody knows. That's the best place to be in. That's the best place for you to be in, for everybody else to know. That means that God has to perform a miracle for you. So everybody knew they lived with her. Yeah. You know, back in those days in Israel, when you didn't have a child, and you were cursed. Amen, you were cursed. He said, well, just to let you know, not only are you going to have a child, but your cousin Elizabeth, she's in the sixth month of her pregnancy. About that time, Mary's like, wait a minute. That old cousin of mine and her old husband, they got a child too. Amen. You know, that's how we are a lot of times. So he ain't do it for them, so he can't do it for me. Amen. Believe God. Have faith in
God.
He said, your cousin Elizabeth is in the sixth month. Anybody in the sixth month of an impossible situation, have faith in
God.
Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah. You know, when I couldn't figure it out, I just simply believed. Amen. One of the easiest things for us to do to get blessings from God is just believe. Why do we have to make getting something from God so difficult? So hard when all we have to do is
believe.
I'm almost finished. He said, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also has conceived a son in her. You know what he said? It was impossible. But her God has given him. Is there? Is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard? I don't care what the doctor, the lawyer, the judge, or anybody else says. I have faith in God. I trust in God. I believe God. Yes, I heard what they said, and I know it didn't happen before anybody else, but how many know that Mary was the first one to have an immaculate conception? Now, Elizabeth wasn't the first one to have a child of old age. That was Abraham and Sarah. But God. God is not limited. There are no limitations on God. Amen. Today we need to let God what? Out of the box. Because we say God can't do that. God said I can do anything but fail. Because I'm God. Amen. Verse 37 said, for with God, for with who?
God.
Nothing shall be impossible. Yes, there are limitations that people can't do. But with God, there are no limitations. He said, all you have to do is have
faith.
My question this afternoon is, where is your faith? Who are you trusting? Who are you believing? Are you believing in a system when God has said something else? Who are you believing? Are you believing in an individual when God has said something else? God uses the elements, the events that take place in our lives as a teaching moment.
Yes.
Well, what are you trying to teach me? God, I'm just trying to teach you to have faith.
Amen.
In God. Where's your faith? I don't care how many times you messed up or failed in the past. The Bible says, Jesus looked at him and said, what happened yesterday? He said, I don't even remember it because today is a new day. And everything that happened yesterday, God said, I placed it into the sea. So if God forgot it, why are you remembering it? If God has forgotten it, if God has placed it so far away, why are you holding on to it? Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. He's the one that keeps me. He's the one that I adore. Every day with Jesus. Hallelujah. Sweet, let us stand. Have faith in God. If you have faith, pray and believe, you can do. If you have faith, pray and believe, you can do. As all the workers and the elders come forward. Even if they say it can't be done, who do you believe this afternoon? Do you believe God? Do you trust God? Do you believe that God can, God will? But the Lord told everyone that he healed, he said, according to your faith. Where is your faith this afternoon? Do you really believe that God can make a way out of? If he blessed Mary to have a child and she didn't know a man, I don't think there's anything in your life that's challenging. But you have to believe. He said, but with God, nothing shall be impossible. Some of those things that you thought were impossible, move them out of the way. It's time to believe and trust God. If God be for you, who then can be against you? We know the word of God. We know the Bible. But when we get in one of those tight situations, and then when it seems like every door has been closed, how many know that when it comes to God, God can open a door that no man can close? Where's your faith? Where's your trust? Where is your confidence? There is one word. It's a universal word that's the same in every language. You can't, might not know it completely. It's the same in Swahili, Chinese, Japanese, whatever. There's one universal word, and it makes reference to God. That word is amen. Amen is the same in every language. Why? Because amen talks about our God. And amen means he is faithful. You can have confidence in him, and you can have trust in him, because whatever God says is absolutely true. Whatever God says is absolutely true. What benefits are you missing out on because you keep doubting God? Saints of God, it's time to believe God. If you have faith, if you pray, you can do anything. Amen.